stupid. Mm-hmm. All right, we are live. What's up, motherfuckers? Time to cue the stupid song.
Public Yemeni number one.
What's up, little bitches? How you guys doing? I hope you guys are all right. This podcast is brought to you by Caffeine Free Bang. Bang is the sponsor of Terrorism Everywhere. Big up ISIS. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Fucking dummy. Guys, my guest today is the hilarious Margo Hamilton. Put your hands together.
Hello.
I hope you guys like the new look of the podcast. You know, I redid the way the podcast looks, and I'm going to keep building it on there. See, now I'm like getting to the point where I'm trying to be a little bit more professional, and it looks pretty good. And I have to thank Chris Rubio. Well, I saw his podcast, and I was like really impressed with how he did it. So then I kind of like got inspired to do it. So big ups to Rubio. If anybody, you know Chris Rubio?
No, I don't.
He's the
related to Mark Rubio.
No, he's the I don't know. Maybe is Mark Rubio a
politician? I think.
Oh yeah,
is he? I don't know.
I wonder if he's. I don't know if he's related to him, but he's a Filipino guy. He's, you might have seen him. He does comedy, but then he also brings like this mixer board and plays music and like creates beats while he's like doing comedy.
No, but yeah. That seems awesome.
Yeah. And then he's got a podcast called the Rubio in the Studio with Rubio. So
okay,
you guys are listening, follow him, man. Cool cat. I like how his podcast looks, so I kind of got inspired. All right, Margo, what's popping,
dude? Nice, thank you for having me. I feel good today, man. I went on a walk.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
that's what makes your day good. You went on a walk.
Yeah, I got my 10,000 steps in early.
Oh, that's right, because you're doing Seisha's
School of Thought.
That's like, I love that name,
dude. It's so good, and her whole like brand and aesthetic is so good. Like, it's, you know, it like Varsity Letters, her merch says School of Thought. And,
School of Thought. Yeah. That's THOT, you yes. dummies.
Important. Yeah.
Yeah. School.
You got to be
thought.
A thoughty. You know?
Huh?
You got to be a thotty, that hoe over there. She's making all these like female comics hoes. It's fucking great.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. I just think like if anybody doesn't know, her name is Seisha. She has this like during the. Is she a comic?
Yeah.
How come?
Yeah, she ran a show at the store for a long time.
That's right. She was running a show for the. Mm-hmm. But I don't see her doing much comedy right now.
Yeah, that's because she's making girls skinny.
Man, she's making girls hot. Is what
hot
she's
as
doing.
Fuck. We were
and
on
making comics hot.
Dude, so hot.
Ruining comedy. Ruining comedy. Because once Margo gets hot, I ain't laughing.
No.
I'm gonna be like, what's under that? What's under that shirt?
Be like, we can't pay attention. I was on Zoom with her yesterday working out. And she was like, you're going to be such an asshole when you're skinny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I went from a size 20 to a size 12 with her. I'm a size 12 right now. And I'm already becoming like an asshole because I'm just walking around. I'm like, I'm so fucking thin. You guys have no idea. Like, when I'm a size 8, it's like game over for these skinny bitches. It's game fucking over.
You know one thing that I've noticed, man, and I don't know if you noticed this or not, or do you, I don't know if you find this mean or if you might have heard this or not. But it's always been a thing that even amongst when I was growing up, it was always like, guys, haven't you ever noticed every girl that's overweight, hot face?
That's my whole life. That's my whole life, that statement.
Really?
That's my whole life.
Okay, explain.
Because like okay, so my brother was on the football team growing up, and he's a year older than me, and in high school... all the football players would go up to my brother and be like, hey, your sister would be really hot if she lost weight because she has a really nice face. Like, my whole life has been like, oh,
they would just tell your brother that?
Is that terrible?
And your brother would tell me.
Yeah.
Damn. You guys are nothing like Arabs because, like, if you walked up to me and said, hey, man, your sister got a hot face, I'm caving your face in.
I know. My brother was like, yeah, she does have a hot face.
He's like, hey, you want a number?
Never. But yeah, that's literally my whole life is like, she has a pretty face and like, that's it. And I'm like, you guys don't even know what's coming. Like, once I get to a size eight, like,
That's what I'm saying.
Everybody's gonna hate me. Every girls are gonna hate me. Guys are gonna hate me because they're gonna want
to
fuck me.
And you're like, not going to want to fuck them.
I'm not going to want to. Because
you're gonna be
to.
Like, "Where's your abs?
Yeah, for
where's
sure. your abs? I'm like, why are you not drinking a gallon of water a day, you piece yeah. of shit?
I'm trying to fuck abs, not flabs.
Yeah, disgusting. These open micers. I'm like, I get like guys now. I'm like, I can't even imagine what I'm gonna like. I'm gonna have a fucking list, man.
Oh yeah, you gotta have a rotation.
Yeah.
You just have
I'm
rotation.
Have lining up at my door.
Fuck yeah, man.
I deserve it.
I can't get you on my podcast no more because you're too busy yeah. fucking.
I'm like, sorry, I can't. I'm texting you from bed. Yeah. I'm like, I can't right now.
I'm actually having a hard time texting because I'm getting blasted
yeah,
right
I'm
now.
I'm getting like, railed right yeah. now.
So just excuse the typos.
I send you an audio message by accident.
Like,
oh, shit.
The headboard.
Good for me. And you're clapping because you're like, we're so proud of her.
Oh, man. I'll throw a parade for you. Are you
Thank
fucking
you.
Serious?
I'm excited.
She did it, guys. Yeah, she yeah. did it. And then that's it. You're not doing open mics no more.
Nope, it's game
no
over.
No more comedy.
No, it's game
You're just
over.
Getting railed on yachts.
Yeah, I'll fucking take it. I'll
not eating the food because you're trying to stay hot.
I know, just me and like my vape pen.
Just miserable.
But skinny.
But skinny.
Somebody's going to cancel me for saying that, but I really don't care.
Yeah, wait. Just yeah. wait. I can't wait. I can't yeah. wait till you get canceled for
I know,
that.
Me too. That's good. No, I love it. I love feeling like fit and strong. And
I bet. It feels good, doesn't it?
Dude, it feels so good. It's like stupid things. It's like crossing your legs when you sit.
Like, excuse me? Say that again? I'm sorry?
It's like crossing your, like, it's this, when you lose weight, it's the small stuff that you notice. So when I was a size 20, I couldn't like sit with my legs crossed. And like now I just like sit with my legs crossed and I sit like in pretzel style, like I'm in a kindergarten. It's like small stuff like
that. Was
that.
An analogy that just did, that went right over my head until you pointed it out.
What? That I?
No, because you said about the whole legs crossed. I thought you were trying to make another point, but.
No.
You know what? I remember now mm-hmm. that you say that,
mm-hmm.
when I was at my fattest,
mm-hmm.
I had a hard time reaching over mm-hmm. my belly to tie my shoe.
Yep.
It was like a.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta get over this hump.
Yeah, yeah. I can put on pants like standing up. I can put on shoes standing up. It's the small things that make.
Have you
big
bought
difference.
New clothes yet?
Oh yeah,
you already have bought.
Oh yeah, I have to buy new clothes all the time, all the time.
So how long you been doing this thing with Sasha?
Since March.
Oh, you've been going for a minute.
I've been going for like 8 months or something. Yeah, I took like a break in between here and there. You know.
And how much have you lost total?
I've lost 55.
Amazing.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
That makes me really happy.
Thank you so much.
Because I told you I used to be fat.
Yeah, it sucks.
You know, they call me Eat Snacks in boot camp.
That's
instead
hilarious.
Of E-Shack. I was just telling you that. I know. I was a diet recruit. And then when I got out of boot camp, my mom, my Arab mom, was like, she saw me how like really, really thin I was mm-hmm. and how ripped I was. And mm-hmm. she was like, they starve you because you're Muslim.
Because they're racist.
Don't lie to me. This is what they do to you, right, Michael? I'm like, no, they made me healthy, Mom.
Yeah, yeah.
And now like, girls want me.
Yeah, I'm sure. They're like, they made you healthy because they were training you to kill people.
For sure.
Like, we need this guy to actually know how to run.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
Like, how fast yeah. can he run?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
well,
true.
I mean, your cardio has to be up in the mm-hmm. Marine Corps because you probably mm-hmm. already got 80 pounds on your back.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even more. Sometimes you're one of those heavy weapons guys. Mm. And those guys have to carry some heavy fucking equipment through the war field. And imagine carrying all that weight plus you're 80 pounds overweight.
Wow.
It's game over.
It's yeah, you're going to die. Somebody's going to kill you.
So we need you as lean as possible.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah, I fuck with that.
But I bet putting on clothes now feels better, going shopping for clothes.
It's amazing. Because now I can shop anywhere.
Do you? Wow. That's
Which I never
good
could.
Point. Where did you have to shop before? I don't know. Listen, we just started meeting after the pandemic.
Yeah.
Correct? We never met before.
I met you once before. I think we were at Burt's, which is a...
Remember Burt's? Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Burt's open mic.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Yeah.
But I think I met you for real in Cole's backyard because you came up to me and you're like, I really like your militia joke. And I always thought you were a great comedian. And I sat on the sidelines for a really long time because I never put 2 feet into comedy. So I would go to open mics and just like watch.
Yeah. You have to warm up. You have to warm yourself up to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did that for a really long time. And then I started like performing. But yeah, I remember that day you were like, I like that militia joke. And it was like a big deal for me. I was like, I think he's so funny.
And I don't give out compliments often.
Yeah.
I really only give out compliments to shit that made me go, wow.
Yeah. Thanks.
And usually what makes me go, wow, makes me go, not only was that funny, but then like the writing and the misdirection. And then I start thinking, like, I get wow. Then I also get like, I get excited for people who come up with really good bits.
Yeah.
A really good bit for me is one where I just go, oh, the possibilities. Yeah. The tags that could be coming out of this.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
How long I could make this. Mm-hmm. How I could, like, do another parallel joke that matches this.
Yeah.
Oh, that could be a callback. And it's just like, so, like, when I hear a comic start a new bit or do something I haven't heard, and then I find out, like, to me, I'm just like, whoa, that was really good. There's another part of me that's like, man, I wish I thought about that.
Yep.
because in that lies the framework to really sit down and add muscle to that skeleton.
Oh, totally. You know absolutely. What I mean? Add the leaves to the tree, for sure.
Add more to
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah. It's fun, isn't it?
It's so great.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it was like 30 seconds, and now it's like 3 minutes. Like
oh,
the bit.
That's great.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just transforms. I love it.
And to me, I like it when you can do a bit that is kind of you feel is fully formed. I don't know if you do this, but I'll have different length versions of that bit.
Yes.
I can do the 5 minute bit, the 3 minute bit. I can do the 1 minute version. I can do the one line version on some jokes. Literally. Some jokes can go 5 minutes or they can go 30 seconds.
Wow.
Where I can just, like, I got this long joke where it's like a story and then I tell and it's got all these punchlines and all the whatever.
Yep.
And then I could take that same 5 minute bit and go get rid of everything in the middle.
Yep.
Here's the setup, very last punchline.
Yep.
And now I could just do that and it works.
Yep.
Fucking that. It's addicting.
When do you decide to do the 5 minutes and when do you decide to do the shorter version?
Depending on the joke.
Yeah.
Some jokes, the 5 minute version is good if it's somewhere in a longer, let's say I'm headlining.
Yeah.
I'm doing an hour set.
Yeah.
Or if I'm doing even like a 30-minute feature set.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes that would be a good place to put that joke.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a joke that I'm like, it's good at 5 minutes. But sometimes that 5-minute joke is better at three.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, 100%.
Meaning you now cut the jokes that get a B-minus, C-plus rating to you. Right. But then still works in a longer set, because in a longer set, you know, you're not going to be constantly hitting them with damn, bam, 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 right. bam, bam. Right. You got to have ebbs and flows.
Absolutely.
And, right?
You got to like keep them going and like, telling a story. Yeah.
So that 5 minute bit. Great. But then way better at three. And then probably even more potent at one. And then super like mesmerizing when you go in and out. Now it's a one liner.
Yeah.
So that last time I did the open mic at the Improv.
Yes, I was there.
And we both moved on.
Yeah, good right? for us, huh?
Good for
what
us.
What a special right? day. I was so happy day. To be there with you and to celebrate that with you.
Yeah. And I never go to that mic, so it was finally good to just go there and then crack that room. And that set that had me move on, I did all my longer jokes as setup punch.
Because you only had 3 minutes.
Only 3 minutes.
Yeah, you're like, get to it. Get to the punchline.
So the shitty thing about that is that you ruin the longer joke that way if people hear the shorter version.
Right.
Because you just give them the leapfrog to the super punchline.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the other one, you'll have, you know, setup, punch, tag, 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 big punch.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then now you're just going, setup, big punch.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do that joke again.
Yep.
They're like, oh, I know where this is going.
Yeah, they already know the ending. Yeah. But for stuff like LabWorks, it's like that worked perfectly in your favor.
I think that's the...
It was amazing.
But I kind of love doing those. I hate to admit, I love doing one-hour sets. But sometimes I love coming back on the road and then coming here. And somebody's like, hey, man, I can only give you 7 minutes. And I'm like, I'm going to give them my 30-minute set in 7 minutes.
It's like a challenge.
And now it's just like you go in there and it's just like, laugh, laugh.
Yeah,
laugh,
you
laugh,
are just
laugh,
like laugh, having laugh, like a machine laugh, gun of it. Yeah, for sure.
You come off feeling like a boss.
Oh, yeah. You're like,
and then all
it.
You could think of is like, oh, man, you guys would be so disappointed if you saw me again.
Yeah, in the 30-minute version. Sorry, guys. Yeah.
Fucking stupid. But anyways, back to you shopping now.
Oh, yeah. Me shopping, yes.
Because you said you used to have to go to like different.
Yeah. So when I was a big girl, I shopped at like Old Navy because that's like notoriously the big girl store. And let me just say that a lot of people don't know this about me, but I was a model for 5 years. I was a plus size model for 5 years.
I can see that.
Yeah. So I was working with a lot of big brands, and I felt like I couldn't lose weight because
you had a job.
I had a job.
Damn. Do we have pictures of that that we can pull up?
No.
Is that a yes or a no? I don't know.
It's a no. It's
we
a
can't
no.
pull them up?
No.
Why not?
Because I was a fit model. It's different. Do you know what a fit model is?
I'm now thinking that it's not going to be because you're fit.
No, it's okay. So it's not, it stands for fit, like how the clothes fit on you.
Sure.
So big brands would hire me, Madewell, Walmart, Target, Ross, shit like that.
Got it.
Hire me. And then I go into their offices.
Right.
And I would put on all the clothes.
Sure.
And take pictures in them. And people, they would have to approve the clothes on my body before they went to stores.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And then why is it that we can't see these pictures?
I mean, because they're not like, they're not like what you think. I can try to find one.
You don't.
I don't think
what,
I have
what
any.
What do you think? I think I was just trying to put it up there so the audience can kind of see when you're telling the story. That's all.
Okay.
I didn't know if it was on your Instagram because I can always pull it up.
No,
here.
No. I'll find a picture for you. I'm going to have to dig. But it was like.
Well, if it's too much work, don't worry about it.
Yeah. It was just like me. I was doing it through the pandemic from my house, which was weird.
Oh, really? You were taking the pictures yourself.
Uh-huh.
So you were, but then if you got the job,
yeah.
What would happen? You would have to go do the real picture?
No.
Or they just took the picture that you sent them?
Yep.
Did they give you a specific equipment to use?
Yeah, they sent me...
a specific camera, tripod, lighting?
Yeah, I used my phone and they sent me tripod, lighting, and like a clothing rack.
Hold on a second.
I know.
You took pictures on your phone?
Yeah.
And that made it to the store things?
No, it made it to the corporate offices
to approve or disapprove.
Yes.
But then when they approve, what happens? Does it go up?
They ship the clothes to the store.
And then that
and then picture, they pick no, they pick other models to do the picture.
To redo the picture.
Yeah.
Get it.
Yeah, so I was a fit model.
Oh, so
but I say model because saying I'm a fit model is like a long.
You're a fit model that's just trying to get the stores to be like, yeah, that's something I think our people would want to buy.
Yeah, and they were tailored to my body.
Like you, right.
So like I would have to be like, these pants are 2 inches too big. So like if you go into Ross Dress for Less, their entire size 20 section fits perfectly on me because it's made for me.
Okay. Interesting.
Because I was, isn't that weird?
It is weird.
Yeah, it's a really weird gig.
It's almost, but it's almost like you have to know which stores are going to be giving you the number that really means that number.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah. Well, they picked me because I have the body of their demographic.
Average.
Yeah.
Not average, but I'm saying that the average demographic, the average size of a woman that would be shopping there.
Well, my joke was that when I first started, I wrote a joke that was like, I model for Ross Dress for Less because I have the body of a 40-year-old Hispanic mom.
Yeah, if you're out here in LA, you realize exactly what that is.
Yeah, and like,
Patrice O'Neill said they built like a semicolon.
Yeah. Actually, though, because I hold my weight in my guts and I not my ass, so they hired me because of that.
Built
it's
like a semicolon.
So dumb. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to explain. That's why I always start by just saying I was a model because it's like a whole big thing.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that must be, listen, man, all I know is when I fucking lost weight.
Dude, it's the best.
Fuck, I remember it was like, I couldn't wait to go to the store.
Oh my God, it's so much fun.
I couldn't wait.
It's so much fun. And I'm finally figuring out what I like in fashion too, because I never had options. So now I'm like, what is my actual style? Like, what are the things I actually want to wear?
So now you're seeing pictures of stuff that you're like, I could see myself in that.
Yeah, because I never had options as a big girl. I just had to wear like black and jeans like every single day.
I was always trying to hide my love handles with big oversized shirts.
I was hiding my boobs because my boobs went down. I lost like 20 pounds of my boobs, just my boobs. Like, and now, so I.
And that's depressing?
It just feels better.
Because
now I can wear like cuter tops.
Oh.
And like my shape is like better.
That's
because I was like always like very insecure about how big my boobs were. So I just like throw on huge, massive sweatshirts.
Wow.
Yeah. And like jean jackets and big jackets just to cover up.
Fuck yeah. But that's good, man. I'm glad.
Dude, I feel so good. Like if anybody wants to lose weight and is like on the fence about it, just do it. And like, don't like, people are going to be like, that's fat phobic, like whatever. But also like, don't you want to feel like healthy and strong?
Exactly.
Like, I feel so fucking strong. Like,
that's amazing.
I could take anybody. Like, I will beat the shit out of people. I'm okay, so fucking strong. Relax. I'm so strong and skinny.
Fucking lax. You sound like me when I got out of boot camp. I literally thought I could fight a car.
Literally.
Like, a car hit me, the car's problem.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the type of mindset I had.
Like, that car's bent. That's your fucking problem now.
You know, that actually happened to me, though.
Really?
I got hit by a car walking down the street, and the car turned out to be more damaged than me.
That's hilarious, and you are an icon.
I mean,
what?
Have you ever heard of this? have you ever heard of quantum immortality?
Are you Spider-Man?
I know.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna tell you this. It's an amazing. It's amazing how everything happened.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard this? There's this idea, and I'm writing a movie around this.
Yeah.
This idea, the scientific theory called quantum immortality. Have you heard of this?
No, but I'm ready.
Okay. Do you know about quantum physics?
No.
Okay. I don't either.
Okay, good. I'm like, ooh, I don't know.
But I'm reading books to try to understand it because it's fascinating. Yeah. And I'm trying to like inform how I'm going to make this story.
Yeah.
So quantum immortality is this idea that you will never experience your own death because your subconscious can never be destroyed because it's energy.
Yeah. Okay. I believe that.
And there is this other idea about the multiverse theory, the idea that there are slivers of copies of this universe basically up against each other for an infinity, and that we reside in every single infinite iteration, and every single infinite iteration could be just a slightly different version of what's happening now. So, for example, in this universe, you're at this podcast with me, but then at the next sliver, you ran 5 minutes late. And then in the next sliver, you said you couldn't come. And then in the next sliver, right? So, but the idea is that every time something happens in your life, the universe splits and makes another option. So if somebody pulled out a gun to shoot you, right, you will die, but then yet at the same time, the universe splits and then another version of you survives it. Maybe the gun doesn't go off, or maybe he shoots you, but then it doesn't hit a integral part of your body and you survive the surgery, or whatever the case may be. So the idea would be that the theory is that you will never witness your own death because every time your conscious would just reside in another option where that didn't happen.
That really fucked me up.
Yeah, that's why I hope this movie really fucks people up too. So
that sounds like the butterfly effect, right?
It's sort of like that. So there's many iterations of the idea of using time, multiple universes, and all that, right?
Yeah.
But no one, I think, as far as I've they've done a lot of this, like a lot of like Groundhog's Day type stuff, where it's like, oh, you're in this loop.
Yeah.
You're in this loop. Whereas this one here is like, you're not in a loop. You're in a never ending cycle of you never dying.
I'd be really pissed if there was more Margos running around.
And the idea is that other Margos are probably running for president.
I'm
and
pissed at that.
Other Margos are, you know, it's whatever. The possibilities are infinite. Anyways, so
That really fucked me up.
Yeah, good. So, but that means I explained it kind of well.
Yeah, you explained it beautifully. Yeah.
So the idea is that there's this, you'll never experience your own death. And if I thought about it, I've had multiple times in my life where I should have fucking died.
Same.
But miraculously, like, why the fuck didn't I?
Dude, okay? Same.
So this one, the one that's the most cartoonish.
Yeah.
At my high school, we had open campus lunch. Because our cafeteria was really small. So we were one of the very few high schools that we were allowed to go out of high school, grab a pizza at a pizza shop, and then come back before the bell rings. Mm-hmm. On the way back, it's summertime. Everyone was hanging out on the lawn waiting for the bell to ring. I'm walking across the street about to go to the school. And I hear a car revving. And I notice a friend of mine, a guy that I know, just bought a new Monte Carlo. And he's revving the car up and like staring at me like he's going to run me over. Mm-hmm. And I have other friends that are in the car. So I was like jokingly like, get at me, bro. Mm-hmm. You know, he peels out, starts coming towards me. Okay. Now he's not really going that fast. He's probably maybe going, by the time he reaches up to me, 25, 35 miles an hour, but that's still fast.
That's fast.
Yeah. For a fucking moving hunk of metal.
Yeah, for right? sure.
This is how dumb I am. It's fucking how dumb I was in high school. Uh-huh. So the car's getting closer. I'm thinking he's going to stop. He's thinking Mike's going to get out of the way. And right when he gets to that point where it's like really too late, he starts to press on the brakes. And in that moment, Margo, I had this harebrained idea to do what Marty McFly did in Back to the Future. And he does this move a lot where he's on the skateboard, car's coming to him, kicks the skateboard under the car, jumps, runs on top of the car as the car's driving so that he can get to the bumper to get to his skateboard on the other side.
Shut up. Did you do that?
So I didn't have a skateboard. So my idea was I'm just going to jump up. And in my high school, I was known to be a very high jumper. I had.
I love that for you. I hope that was your superlative. Very high jumper. Well,
at the time, I'm like shorter than I am now.
Yeah.
I was like maybe 5'6" at the time. Wow. And I could grab the 10-foot rim.
That's insanity.
So I was known for like being very short, but kind of I could leap.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shit.
And in my head, I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fucking leap over this car. I'm going to run. God. And that's how I survived this thing.
That's your like reptilian brain.
Probably.
Oh, yeah. You're like fucking jump, bitch.
Right, right.
Yeah, you get the fuck up
this
there.
This is, yeah.
Wow.
So I jump up and I couldn't get high enough and because the car was coming. And I realized I had to like now tuck my knees up in order for my feet to clear the front of the grill. And I still couldn't get that high enough. Uh-huh. The front of the grill clips my feet, spins me towards the windshield. Now I'm going to go through his windshield. And I did. But I went through his windshield miraculously enough, back first.
Wow.
And I don't know if you know windshields, they're created with that plastic so it caves in. Mm-hmm. So basically, the windshield turned into a cradle.
What the hell?
I didn't go into the cabin.
Wow.
I didn't hit my head.
Wow.
The only part I hit was my upper back. And then when he hit the brakes, I rolled off the car onto the floor.
Yeah, yeah, I bet.
But I remember when I hit that thing, everything was so black. Mm. I never witnessed a blackness like that.
Oh.
It was really weird. It was,
you blacked out, is what you're saying, because...
No.
You like went into something
no,
or like
it was my eyes were closed, right?
Yeah.
And I felt myself roll off the car and I felt myself hit the ground and I felt everyone go and everyone run around to me. But it wasn't like my eyes were closed. It was like I was dead for that split second. I was rolling off the car. And then I remember I woke up on the ground and the driver, Wyle, comes out and he's like, terrified that he might have killed someone.
Oh, yeah.
And he runs up to me. He goes, oh my God, are you okay? And I remember I sat there and I inspected my entire body and there was not one fucking scratch on me. And in front of everyone in the school, I just hysterically busted out laughing.
Jesus Christ.
I was just so happy to be alive.
Yeah.
But I looked crazy in front of everyone.
You look like a sociopath. You're like, let's do it again.
For real. Yeah. That's what, but I was just so happy to be alive. And then the guy who hit me was like, What? Fuck you. I'm going to sue you, man. You fucked up my car. Now he swished. He was like, he couldn't understand why I was laughing.
Yeah.
And to this day, I'm like, how did
that's
that
crazy.
Fucking happen?
Something happens when you're like feeling like your body feels like that adrenaline. And like, just like, I think it like pushes it down or blacks it out for you or something. I don't know. That's crazy. You don't remember seeing anything.
Meaning
like when you were rolling,
seeing like visions,
people around you.
No, just a fucking intense blackness. And it probably a lot of it was me closing my eyes, like if you heard me closing my eyes because the impact, expecting
you're
death,
bracing it. Yeah,
but then there's another part of me is like, what if that little transition of that blackness was me actually dying in this one universe and then me waking up into the other option?
That's crazy. Do you believe that? That's bananas.
To me, there's science, there's theories, and there's experiments that they've done that make them kind of go, oh, there are parallel universes.
That'd be wild.
And then there's like this idea like, well, consciousness is energy, but we still don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's this harebrained idea of like, what if consciousness is energy and it resides in all those iterations and you'll never experience your death?
You like switch dimensions when you hit that windshield or some shit. Am I getting this right?
Yes.
Yeah,
fucking wild. Anyways.
That's wild. No, you had me in for that story.
But I don't know. To me, that was the one time where I was like, dude, I feel like I might have died right there. You said you have a story like that?
Well, I have a lot of near-death experience where, like, I should 100% be dead, but I'm not. And I don't know why. Like, I used to make really bad decisions, and I should be dead. But when I broke my... This is nothing compared to yours, but when I broke my elbow my junior year, I smashed it on cement, and I don't remember any of it. I just remember I was running, and I jumped a chain, and I fell over the chain. I don't remember jumping the chain. I don't remember falling. I don't remember hitting the ground. I just remember getting up, holding my elbow, and, like, literally walking myself to the nurse's office.
And did you smash your elbow?
Oh, yeah. I've got 5 pins in my elbow. I smashed it in, like, a million pieces.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hit your head?
Nope. I don't think I did, but like you, I don't remember any of it. I just remember getting up and being like, well, I fucked up. And then I was in the emergency room in like an hour.
Oh, me, I remember all of the crash.
Yeah. Oh, you do? I don't remember any of mine. That's what I'm
saying. I remember the rolling off. I remember the blackness. I mean, rolling off the car. And all, I remember that was all playing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. But you're saying that you might have, like, your brain might have blacked it out.
Yeah.
Maybe you might have jarred your head a little bit and something.
I'll never jump a chain ever again. I'll tell you that.
What do you mean jump a chain?
Jumped a chain. So I was a
chain that was like,
it was like a chain. It was like a do not the grass? Enter. Yeah. Because I was a varsity athlete all through high school. So I was out running with my team. I was like leading my team.
Cross country?
No, I was a swim captain, and I was on the crew team, which is rowing.
Oh shit.
Yeah. I was a beast.
No shit.
Mm-hmm.
Were you overweight then?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, I was like 200 in high school. Mm-hmm.
And that worked to your advantage?
Rowing, for sure. Yeah, because I carry my weight really well. So I've got like big legs. I've got like fucking hardy legs. And I was a swim captain. I definitely wasn't the fastest swimmer, but I had a lot of spirit, for sure. And that's why I was
And they made
the
you the captain because you had spirit?
Like, yeah. They're like, she's not a very fast swimmer. I did distance, though. I swam the 500, which is 20 laps.
Oh, okay.
At every race. So I just like took my time. I was like, man, it's 20 laps. Everybody understands.
Everyone understands. That's hilarious.
Like, that's like everybody gets it.
That's your excuse. Yeah. Everyone understands.
It's a long laps, thing bro. To swim. Yeah. But yeah.
Okay.
I swam for 15 years.
Oh, wow.
Growing up. Yeah, I was always at swim practice. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So you were like an athlete then.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Are you good with like hand-eye coordination?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suck at it.
Yeah, my dad always wanted me to play basketball, but I never did. But like, I'm pretty good at throwing shit into bins.
No shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty good at throwing baseballs.
Yeah, I suck at sports.
Do you?
Everything.
You don't seem like you would.
No, that's the disappointing part.
Really?
I look like I'd be really good at sports.
Yeah, you look like you'd be great at sports.
Terrible.
You have other things you're really good at.
Fuck you. Piece of shit.
You're a great comedian.
Yeah.
You're in the Marines. That counts as sports.
Oh, shit.
No, it doesn't. Is that so offensive? I'm sorry. I fuck with the military. I support you guys.
Oh, no. I don't think it was offensive. Yeah. I'm like, that has nothing to do with sports.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I'm shooting a rifle.
Yeah.
That rifle's made to be really hard to not kill someone with.
Yeah.
Like, that thing is like such good engineering. It's like, if you can't kill someone with that rifle, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah,
you should
for
die.
Sure. Yeah. You should kill yourself with the rifle.
For real.
Yeah.
You dropped the bomb on an entire village and you fucking didn't get the terrorists. You fucking piece of shit.
Why don't you go home?
Go home. We're going to bomb your family's house right now. And then we're going to miss you so you can live with it.
Yeah.
Just like that terrorist that's walking around without a family. Oh, my God. That's a you're dumbass.
I'm dying. It's funny. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it's good.
I fucking forgot what we were talking about. Jumping the chain.
Jumping the chain, being skinny as fuck.
Yeah, that's it. You're gonna be a piece of shit. And I can't wait to have another podcast where we do a follow up and you're just like,
I'm gonna be an asshole. I'm excited for it. I fucking did it. I fucking spent my whole life being a fatty, dating dumbasses because that's what I thought I deserved. You know, dating just low life scummy guys because I was like, I'm overweight, so this is what you get for me. Yeah.
Damn.
I know that's. I was explaining it to somebody today, and I think the experiences are similar, but. No pun intended, way differently, but growing up fat and being gay are a very similar experience because your whole identity is based on those things. you know, your whole value is like based on those things.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
How so though? You're saying so like if you're fat, then now everything you do revolves around that, or that's how people view you as?
Yeah. And that's why I learned how to be funny, because I was like, if I can make this person laugh within the first 5 seconds of them meeting me, they won't look at me. Like they won't look at my body.
When I was much younger, I wasn't ugly.
That's good.
I mean, when I look back at it, but I thought I was.
Really?
Yeah. I think a lot of people have insecurities like that.
Oh, yeah. We're all walking.
View themselves.
Depressed, insecure.
Do you know? Most of us kind of like, especially when you're growing up and you're at, you know?
Yeah.
You could either be like in your head and like some people act like everything's okay, but deep down they're just like, ugh, I'm so whatever. But yeah, to me, it's just really funny how like you can like look back at yourself and like, yeah, I don't know. Like there's that saying where it's like, if you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see, we really should be grateful for what you have, because imagine you 20 years from now looking back at a picture of you today and how like that'll make you just go, what the fuck? I was so young.
I know.
So
I had it all. I could have been running around. Yeah.
And like my ideas of myself were exacerbated. Like I look at a younger picture of myself. I'm like, I wasn't that ugly, or you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a little bit, but
yeah. Maybe, I mean, I wasn't, I mean, I was like a six.
Yeah. I was thinking bad. I was a 1.3, bro.
Yeah, so was I.
Fuck.
Yeah. And I thought I was an uggo, and then I got out of high school, and all these, like, guys in high school were like, once being, like, thick was in, like, all these guys from high school were like, yeah, we had a crush on you the whole time. I'm like, yeah, fuck off.
Oh, yeah. Play that game now.
I was like, no way. You can't have it now.
Yeah.
I was always like a pretty girl, but I was just heavy.
Have you been dating any type of different guys now since you've lost that weight so far?
Yeah.
That fucking look was just like, next question.
No, I'm getting, you know what? I am getting more consciously aware of the people I'm dating because I have more options now. So I can be picky if I want. And
that's great.
I feel
that's awesome.
I feel more confident. I feel like I have a lot more self-worth, and I know what I deserve, and I know where I stand in my like feminine energy now, that it's much easier for me to pick up red flags and end it.
Fuck yeah.
Like that's been fun.
Okay.
Like, yeah. Because I'm like, there's like, I got like a fucking stack DMs, you know what I mean?
That's great.
You know? And I'm only like, you know what I mean? I'm not even like, I still have like at least 40 more pounds to lose.
Yeah. Get ready.
Yeah, I know. But yeah.
Dick pics are coming.
No, it's good. But yeah, because when I was overweight, I was just like, I had a boyfriend at my heaviest. Like my heaviest was 250, and I had a boyfriend, and he was just a piece of shit, garbage, would cheat on me every single week. And I just was like, well, this is all you're going to get because you're 250. So I just like stayed in it.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Do you think you at your heaviest, if you were to, instead of lose weight, this is just a thought experiment, but have the confidence that you have now, do you still think you would be able to attract a man less shitty than the guy that you had? Or do you think a lot of that's attributed to your weight?
I wasn't confident at that weight, but if I
do you think so? You can't marry the idea of you being at that weight and
yes,
then being confident.
Yes, I can.
I'm just saying that if you were to transfer the confidence that you've accrued up till now,
yeah,
and then
take it at 250.
And then like, yeah, transfer yeah. that operating system yeah. to you then. Do you still think you would have stuck around with that guy, or do you think you would have probably
been I would have fucking bounced immediately.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. He was garbage.
But the losing the weight thing kind of helped you get to this idea of seeing red flags more?
Oh, yeah.
And that's because why? Because
I was taking care of myself.
And you started respecting yourself.
Yes. So losing weight was about the weight, yes, but it was the way it was about how I was treating myself and how I felt about myself. So it was my happiness more than anything.
So it was like,
because I was treating my body like a fucking garbage can.
Yeah.
And then I was a bulimic, so I was fucking throwing it up.
Yeah.
And that's terrible. I've ruined my insides. I've been in recovery, so they're healing, but it was an exact correlation of how I felt about myself.
Wow.
So I had to make the conscious decision to be like, I am wonderful. I deserve more for me. Like, and then obviously working out is like endorphins, so you feel better about yourself and then you want to put stuff good into your body. And then how you treat yourself and your body just manifests into everything else in your life, you know? So that's when I started to take care of me. I started to get to know who Margo was even more. And then I was like, you know what? It's okay. It's not okay that my boyfriend has ghosted me for 24 hours, because guess what? He's my fucking boyfriend.
And now you're not my boyfriend.
And now you're not my boyfriend anymore, because you don't get to do that to somebody you're intimate with. You don't get to do that.
And that makes me so happy. Everything you're saying
you.
Right now is fucking great. That's
thank
great.
You.
Because,
thank you.
Because it was like, it's like your decision to now start seeing the red flags came from your, it seems like, you know, before, and I think we all go, it's not just you get caught up in these negative feedback loops.
Oh, yeah.
And then it manifests in you, and then it manifests in your relationships.
Yeah.
Then it manifests in the people, how you let people treat you, how many people walk all over you, and then they just,
it's a cycle. Back.
And it seems like it's like you switch that. The opposite. You're like, I'm going to take care of myself first. And then that positive feedback loop started going the other way. I'm like, wait a minute. This guy's a fucking piece of shit. I don't need to be standing up for that.
Yeah, what the hell?
If I'm going to put good food in me, I need to put good dick in me.
Yeah, you know? I need my insides to match my outsides. Like, I'm, you know what I mean? Like,
and
I believe in, I live by how you do one thing is how you do everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just, I was just taken. I just hated myself so much. I was like, yeah, it's fine that he cheated on me, because it was
fine. That's so powerful, Margo. That's some powerful shit right there.
That's why I'm like, I like get rid of guys so fast. I'm like, no.
I did send a message to Sasha in the middle of the pandemic, seeing her like transform all these people. And I was just like, yo, I just got to let you know, I think what you're doing is amazing, because she's like really making shit happen.
She's
man.
Making shit happen, and she
and
has
she's changing
changed,
people.
She's changed my whole life. School of Thought has changed my entire life, because I got out of my modeling job, which I hated because I was miserable. I just really found self-love and in myself. And it was starting with Stacia was the first time I ever truly invested in myself.
That makes me so fucking happy. That makes me so happy.
Thank you. I was like, yeah, I deserve it. I deserve to feel good. And like, I'm a funny girl.
Yeah.
And I'm super smart. And I'm nice. I'm kind. I'm like.
That's my first personal trainer out of the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
I got out of the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
Got depressed for a myriad of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Smoking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Then I quit smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Gained all this fucking weight.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, I was like, yo, I need to get a personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
He's now my friend. Like. This is years ago I got him, and I remember he like drew up the contract for the year for how much it's going to cost, and I remember he threw that figure in front of me, and I remember I looked at it and I was like, what? And he had a very good sales pitch. Now, mind you, he was this jack Nigerian dude.
Yeah.
Just
fucking.
His muscles have muscles. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, for
just
sure.
Just jacked.
Yeah.
And he was just like, well, Mike, you know, you got to look at it. You know, he goes, you quit smoking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah. He goes, how much do cigarettes cost? Then he goes, how many cigarette packs you were smoking a day?
Mm-hmm.
Then he multiplied that over the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, you were spending more money in cigarettes than you're going to be spending for me for the year.
Brilliant.
And then he goes, it's an investment in you.
It is.
And when he said that, I was like, take my money, motherfucker. That's,
do it.
You're so fucking right. Like,
yeah.
realizing that,
yep,
then that changed everything from there.
Yeah, you gotta cut a nice check to invest in yourself.
Yeah,
and it was tough. I didn't want to do it at first. I was like, oh, this is a lot. But then it's fleeting. Thinking yeah. back on it, I was like, that shit doesn't even matter. Like, I already made that money back.
You gotta realize there's gonna come a time where you're just gonna be able to take that information that you got and run autopilot with it.
Oh yeah.
You know,
I
mean, don't you see that?
Yeah. Well, I'm just every day I'm so excited to wake up and just learn more about myself and really stand on my own 2 feet and become like the woman I'm supposed to be. And like has everything to do with how I treat myself.
Be such a piece of shit. I know. Man.
Do you know when Egan Robinson? He said the same thing to me.
Did he?
Yeah. He's like, you can just be such a piece of shit when you're super skinny.
And you are.
Yeah. Whatever. Fuck it.
No, I think you're gonna be cool though.
Yeah, I'm still cool right now.
So long as you stay cool, man, like, you'll have everything at your disposal.
Yeah, I'm excited to meet. Like, I'm excited to finally, and I don't know when it'll happen. I trust the universe in it, but I'm really excited to meet and start dating somebody who is like of equal value and or greater than me, because I haven't met anybody like that yet. Because I was just dating insecure bitches.
You haven't met anybody like what?
Like I want to meet my equal. Like, I've been dating a lot of like insecure, weak men.
You know what though, Margot? Here's the thing. Do you consider yourself like a strong woman?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Did you see that? At the replay, that shit, man. This is a girl who knows who the fuck she is, bro. That's great. Yeah, okay. And do you like men that are more... have more energy than you in terms of like, okay, so for example, you're pretty dominant, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a relationship structure with a man, do you prefer your man to be more dominant than you? I'm just wondering, like, you know, because like it's always interesting to find out how people like.
I usually date a lot of quieter men.
And do you like that? Interesting.
I like my men to see me for how bright I shine, first and foremost. And that takes a very confident man to see my light and honor it.
So these guys that you're dating, you typically say that you get guys that are a little shy or a little beta, sort of?
Yeah,
right?
Definitely. Because I'm alpha.
But are they
sure.
confident?
No.
Okay. Because there's a difference between...
Yeah.
I don't like when guys today or girls think that the idea of beta means... insecure.
Yeah, I agree
That's
with
not
that.
True.
I agree with that.
There are men out there that are secure in having a woman stronger than them.
Yes.
Right? Yes. And they may be beta in their energy around her.
Yes.
But they're not a bitch.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they still have respect. And they still, you know, they're like, I like this structure. I like having a woman that's stronger than me and whatever. Yeah. And I'm comfortable in that.
Yeah.
What you're saying is you got guys that are weak. They know they're weak. They hate they're weak. And they hate the fact that you're stronger than them.
Yep.
And they don't like seeing you like.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm a lot. And I love being a lot. You know?
Yeah.
I fuck with it. Like, this is who I am, you know? But.
Do you think girls like that have it harder?
Yeah.
To find men?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think like majority of men would rather have a woman to be more submissive than them?
Yeah, because I think the majority of men are more insecure than women.
Do you think that's what it is?
What?
Or do you think it's just preference?
What do you mean? Like?
That men want a woman that's more submissive, that's submissive to them.
Well, I think it's all like internalized misogyny.
You think so?
Especially in like white people. Like,
whoa, you have never met Arabs.
Who
the fuck?
My mom keeps dating. My mom told me the other day, she's like, stop dating white guys. She's like, you're done. We've had enough.
We've had enough white guys. Why? What was the reason?
Because just like there's something about people of color, I think, or maybe she believes that just like honor stronger women more because I think, you know, I don't know. Like, I love black guys. Like, I'd love to date a black guy.
You never dated a black guy?
No, and not like officially, but like I've like hung out with black guys.
Hooked
for
up
sure.
with black guys?
Yeah, but like I'm like perfect for a black guy. Like I'm a size 12 white girl. You know what I mean?
So you think more ethnic men can handle your personality?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Is that, I don't know. Is that racist? I don't know.
Everything's racist today.
Okay, cool.
You being a white person just saying anything right now is racist. This whole podcast, you've been racist the whole fucking time. Great. Even talking about being overweight, you were actually being racist.
Yeah, for sure. And fat phobic and whatever. Fuck off.
Yeah, fat is a race now, guys.
You fatty. I'm going to check it off when I do my driver's license.
There's going to be a fat country. There's going to be a nation of fatties. They're going to have their own flag.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I just like, I just think black women are just so superior anyways. And just
superior.
Like they just know. Like,
imagine you said that about white women. Ugh. See,
I can't say. I don't know. But like, I just think like, I don't know. Like, I just love black women. I just think they're super confident. They know how to run a household. They're very, I feel like the most black women I met are very spiritual, are in touch with, you know, that side.
They have culture, is what you're saying. They have like a culture. Like, do you feel like white people have lost that community?
Yeah, white people are gross.
Not all white people. I date a lot of white girls that have families that they love.
I love my family. You know what I mean? Boring. Yeah.
They're boring.
They're average.
Well, I think my family's kind of boring too. I just think that if you see my family, it's just so exotic because it's not white.
Because it's not white, you know. Yeah,
and we have cultures that we do that I grew up with. And I'm like, this is fucking stupid. I'd rather be at McDonald's right now.
Yeah, you know? Michael, I'm a white girl from Connecticut. Like, I'm a basic white girl from Connecticut. Like, our culture is Dunkin' Donuts. Like, that's it. Dunkin' Donuts and Christian and like Catholicism.
So you guys are done with all right. Well, so your idea is that. Well, here's the thing. I think it's easy to get caught in these tropes, man. I think that there are things that come from our cultures, especially us ethnic people, that kind of make us similar, right? Mm-hmm. I think if you go to Arab culture, depending on what Arab they are, you know, Lebanese people are different in their structures with women than, say, Saudi Arabian. Right. Saudi Arabian people, typically the woman is covered up in public. Mm. She doesn't speak up. Mm. Right. They just let them drive. Mm-hmm. Right. The majority of the women be indoors. Then you go to Lebanon and those Arab women are tit job, nose job, tits out, ass out, still Muslim. But they party every night. They drink. You know, and then within those cultures, I grew up with a lot of Lebanese people that have that liberal type culture. But then there are a portion of men that you're going to find in that culture that they don't want a strong woman. They want a woman to shut up.
Yeah.
But then there's also, you know, you're going to have Arab men that like Yemeni men. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of Yemenis that can be domineering towards women and have that toxic view of what a woman is. My dad was kind of like that, even though he was a good guy, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of, but he just had that old world mindset. Mm-hmm. Yet there are other Yemeni people that are not like that. Mm. Back in like 2000, I think 12 or 13, there was a revolution that happened in Yemen that was started by a woman. A woman in a hijab started a revolution against the government.
Amazing.
And the whole country got behind her.
Yep.
And she started that revolution while rearing children and driving them to school and doing her job. Mm-hmm. And then they did a documentary on her and they were like, how do you handle it all? And she was like, I couldn't do it without my husband.
Yeah.
So then you see this Yemeni guy who's literally like, she's stronger than me.
I love that.
And he was like,
he sees her
and he sees it. Mm-hmm. And he was like, and she's doing a very important thing. So I had to go against the grain and now I'm taking care of the kids more and I'm doing this because she's just doing this thing that's bigger than me.
And how like wonderful it is to like,
but how wonderful that she has that husband.
I know.
Imagine if she had my dad. If she had my dad, there would be no revolution.
Yeah, there'd be no revolution. Yeah, that's I'm going to think about that every single day for the rest of my life. That like if I were to start a revolution, would my boyfriend back me? Like with this guy, that's how I'm going to do it for
that's your litmus test.
Every
that's your litmus
fucking
test.
Time I go on a date, I'm like, if I start a revolution, is this motherfucker down to clown? Wow. That's it. And done. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. I think your mindset's on point. That's just how it's good. But like, that's dating in hard mode though. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you got to make concessions just to get your dick wet. I mean,
sometimes you have to compromise to get your dick wet.
I do all the time.
I know. I don't compromise.
What do you mean don't compromise?
I try to compromise, but I'm a spoiled brat.
I had to learn that my, I had such high standards.
Mm-hmm.
Listen,
settle.
Settle. No. I still have high standards. Mm-hmm. I still have high standards. Mm-hmm. But I had to come to the realization through eating a lot of mushrooms that the standards that I was setting were way too fucking high. Wow. Like, I wanted somebody to be so perfect that they would never piss me off or not make a mistake. Yeah. And it got to that point where I had to be like, the fuck you thinking, bro?
Yeah.
All I want is just somebody who could be like, yo, I fucked up. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm so fix easy. That shit. Yeah. And I want somebody who will like is willing to take the action to fix it and do better. Like, not just say it.
Right. Yes.
Like, that was a big thing. Because I was dating a guy and it was just like talking. And I was like, but your actions are not showing me that you're hearing me.
Exactly.
And I love you.
Exactly.
But get it together.
Yo, I had to, you know, one of the girls I was dating, I had to, man, it was so perfect in every other way. Mm-hmm. Except they could just not acknowledge when they fucking hurt me or when they did something wrong.
Yeah, that's ego, man.
Instead, they would just gaslight, turn the tables around, change the discussion about what you did earlier and deflect and just...
Yeah, girls keep score. And I try not to.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah.
Like, girls keep a scoreboard. Like, every fucking thing you've ever done wrong, she's got a list in her notebook.
Well, it's not keeping score. I'm talking about...
when it happened.
I'm talking about they store ammo.
Yes.
You guys store... ammo. You guys literally are like militia people. That's what you fucking like, man. You know what I'm saying? You're sitting there and being like, okay, I'm gonna take that information and put it in the vault.
100%.
And over these months and times, that piece of information is going to be refined into a metaphorical bullet.
Yep.
And man, I can't wait to use it.
The when day you're least expecting it.
You least expect it. It's when you come at me with this, hey, what the hell? I can't believe you did this wrong thing to me, dear. And then I'm going to go in my thing and pull out this thing that we didn't talk about yet.
6 years ago. I'm going to get that one thing.
But I have
you did
all the details.
I've written the date and time it happened.
I even have the video that from the security footage that, you remember when we got that security footage thing?
Exactly.
You know, I still have all that footage here.
Let's sit down and unpack
it. I have it labeled and tagged. Okay. And then this whole time we should have been talking about how high I hurt you, but now you're too busy trying to figure out where's this bitch keep all the security footage?
Where is she getting this from?
And now, and that's typically metaphorically what happens.
Yeah.
I can't stand for that shit, man. Wow. And you're right.
Yeah.
I have yet to have a girl that would apologize and then not do it. I always have the girls that don't.
What do you mean? Don't apologize?
They don't. They just deflect.
Saying sorry is a really hard thing to learn.
Really?
Yeah.
I think my parents raised me early on.
Yeah, same. My parents were always,
I remember my dad really
sorry.
Kept telling me very young age. Yeah. It's very important to know when you're wrong and to say you're sorry.
100%. Because it's a submission of like your ego. It's like you have to like drop down and humble yourself and say sorry. And that's really hard for people.
Oh, man. Maybe we should start teaching kids to do that earlier.
Yeah, just everybody walk around with a bag of sorries.
Some people throw sorries around too much where it don't mean nothing.
Too much.
I'm sorry for like bumping in. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I got to speak twice.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
It is hard, huh?
It's hard to say sorry.
Have to learn how to?
Yeah.
Were you one of those people that couldn't?
No, I said it too much. And then I had to learn to stop saying it and to only say it when I meant it. And then you say it once. And so I'm in 12-step program and we have something called the living amends. So you can make amends to somebody, which is like, hey, I'm sorry I did this to you. And that's an amends. But a living amends means you say sorry and you continue the amends through your actions. So you don't do it again. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So I make living amends now all the time where I say sorry once and then I don't let it happen again because I make the conscious decision to continue to make amends so it doesn't happen again.
Sure. That's exactly what sorry is for.
Yes.
That's why, like, you know, when people just say sorry, and then I would just be like, I'd wait for the what?
Sorry, what?
No, because sometimes people just be like, I'm sorry. Okay, for what? You know?
Yeah, so for what?
To me, it's like, if I did you wrong, and I realized it, I'd explain to you that you know, that I know what happened.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not just a sorry to get you off of me.
Yeah.
I will literally tell you, look, I'm really sorry. I fucked up and I didn't show up to the show that you told me to be on.
Yeah.
And it slipped my mind.
Yeah.
I didn't put it in my thing. Mm-hmm. Whatever it was, mm-hmm. I fucked up. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Please forgive me. And I would let you know.
Yeah, give me the full breakdown.
I give you the roadmap.
Yeah.
So that you know that you don't even have to give me the roadmap.
Yes, because you're consciously aware of what you did.
I'm acknowledging what happened.
Of course. That's, I love, instead of just saying it.
Just saying it.
Yeah, because then people trust that sorry more.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, like, some people will probably be like, oh, weakness. Like, oh, that's a, some people have that type of ego. They'd be like, ooh, this is a.
Weak because he explained this sorry, like explain.
Even saying sorry.
Wow.
Yeah. You don't think so?
No, I think sorry is, I think apologizing and forgiveness are very strong things. I think forgiveness is like such a beautiful, strong thing. And apologizing as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah. I'm soft inside. I'm a tough bitch, but I'm soft inside.
Yeah, I think most people are soft inside.
Yeah.
Remember when I went to boot camp?
Yeah.
I was like really worried and shit.
Yeah.
Then I found out everyone's a little bitch. Everyone was a little crybaby at one point or another. That's what you start noticing at boot camp when those drill sergeants break us down.
Wow, that's what they do to you, huh?
Yeah, like when I first checked into the unit, I remember I would see guys that were like from New York and they were like big, tatted up and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then like that's the guy that's crying.
Wow.
Later on, I'm just like, what the fuck is going on?
Those tattoos were just a mask.
Or whatever. Yeah. I'm not saying that that's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like you would see a guy. It's just people surprise you. And then after a while, you're like, fuck, man. Mm-hmm. This whole time, I was like really scared to go to boot camp
because
I was afraid that I was going to be the beta amongst all these rugged alphas.
Right.
And then I realized, yo, man, deep down, we're all fucking beta.
Yeah.
Deep, deep way down.
Deep, deep down, huh?
Do you know what I'm saying?
Kind of. Just we're all like
scared.
Yeah.
Everyone to a fucking degree is just fucking terrified.
Of course. Because nobody knows what they're doing.
And then it made boot camp fun. Then I was just like, oh, this is hilarious. I was like, man, everyone's a bitch like me. Okay.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. I'm just the fat bitch.
Hilarious.
Yeah, I love it.
I remember when we were talking on the reason why I had Margo on is because we was at the... you say you remember the first time we met. Do you remember what I said to you? It was the militia thing, huh?
That was the first time you spoke to me, yes.
Makes it sound like I'm fucking mean.
Yeah.
No, but then it's when you said, when I was talking to Jordy Stroud about getting off porn and then instead having sex with real women.
Flashback.
You were in the back and you were like, oh, that's so nice.
That's so nice. It's so nice.
I think that's really funny to hear that.
That it's so nice that... Let's explain the situation.
Well, you want to explain it from your angle? Because I've already explained it from my angle. They've heard it
from
my
angle. I was... At the time, I was losing my boyfriend to porn. And you said this, said something, like what you just said. And you looked at me and you're like, yeah, he's robbing you.
That's what I said. He's robbing you.
Yeah, and I just started crying. I was like, he's robbing me. Because I think porn is the devil.
I think it.
I'm so dramatic. Why am I this dramatic?
I think for some people it can be.
Mm.
And some people it rewires them in a way that makes their sexual appetite.
Yeah.
Just not real.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you could possibly have foursome with four girls that are that gorgeous with all that lighting and makeup. And
I've never watched it. Is that what it is?
What?
Porn? There's a lot of lighting and makeup. I've never watched it.
Not really, but I mean, like, they throw a lot of light in the room. It's not like lit like a fucking movie with shading and all that type of shit, you know, but I mean, the girls are cute. But the point is that you have these girls that are paid to be very willing to do these sex acts. And some of them, you can, when you watch it, it seems like they really enjoy it, right? Maybe when you watch that amateur porn. And then there's some other ones where you watch, you're like, I can see through the fakeness of this fucking shit. But regardless of the fact, you know, it hijacks guys' mindset into thinking that that is what is So it's like there's a video called Your Brain on Porn, mm-hmm. and it talks about how if guys jerk off to porn too much, mm-hmm. it rewires the brain to where now the brain is expecting that type of sex all the time. Mm-hmm. And then if you get with a real woman and mm-hmm. she doesn't match that level of beauty or that intensity of video that you watch, mm-hmm. or sometimes guys will jerk off to it too much that they end up having this death grip on their dick. Mm-hmm. to get themselves to come, and then they get the nerve endings on their dick get used to that, so that like the only way they can come is like if they can feel the grip of how they grip it. So then that's why guys will flame out, and a flame out is where you might have saw this with your boyfriend. Well, he may get hard and they'll like you'll go be the start to have sex, and then he puts his dick in you, and then within like 2 or 3 minutes or 5 minutes he loses it, and he loses his hard on and he can't continue. Mm-hmm. And that's just because the brain has been, the idea is that the brain is so used to you going from 1 5-minute video to another 5-minute video to another 5-minute video. And then like maybe watching 5 5-minute videos before you blow your load. Mm-hmm. And it tricks the brain into thinking that you were in the room with all these different fucking beautiful women. And your dopamine that's spiking doesn't happen in a normal.
Yeah.
You're inducing it.
Yeah.
So then now your synapses are used to that many dopamine spikes during a sexual encounter, that when you do it with one woman and that dopamine spike's not there, your dick's like, deuce. Wow. I don't want to play this game no more.
It ruins everything.
And you saying you had a guy that was like that, a couple guys you were dating that were like that.
Yeah, a couple guys. Yeah. Yeah. I just lost them to porn because it was just, I think it was like, I just wasn't them. You know, I wasn't those porn girls, so they couldn't watching. Treat me like the whores that those porn girls are because they had emotional connections to me. So it was like, it was confusing. It was confusing. Does that make sense?
They couldn't do that type of sex with you.
Or let me have that want that kind of sex with them because I wasn't them. And they were attached to those girls.
So immature.
You know? And like these are like people, you know.
But you were willing. That's fucking, wow. High five to you.
And they were like, no.
They were compartmentalizing.
I felt very, because it's something like called the Madonna whore complex. It's like a Sigmund Freud thing, is where men with very intense mommy issues put women in two categories. They put them in the whore category or the Madonna mother category. So like, and they usually can't sleep with women who go into the Madonna mother category because they don't see them as like sexual beings because they're emotionally attached to
them. Women do that too, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the women do that too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple on the lineup that I've done that too.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, I've had like girls that have used me for the sex, and then this other guy for cuddles.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah,
right. It's almost like the other way. Do you want a tissue or something?
Oh no, I'm good. This is a great sweatshirt to wipe my nose on. It's only Abercrombie.
Yeah, you're adding color to it.
I'm good.
It's good. There's this gradient that's happening off of your. No, I'm just joking.
No,
I'm joking.
No. But it's true. Yeah, because it's just yeah. I don't know. I think I've had that experience happen to me quite a few times where it's like, okay, well, I'm not your mom, but thank you for sharing your entire life story with me. And now you don't want to fuck me. Thank you.
That is so weird.
Been a few guys like that. Yeah.
I want them both to match up.
Hell yeah. You got a good relationship with your mother?
Do I have? Yeah.
Yeah. My grandmother, when I was a little girl, said, Margo, when you start dating, she's a German immigrant. She said, Margo, when you start dating, watch how they treat their mother.
Oh, yeah.
That's the most important thing in the world. Watch how they treat their mother.
Yeah.
You love your mom?
Yeah.
You got a great relationship with her?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I mean, it wasn't always like that.
Yeah, but you worked on it because it's your fucking mother.
That's what I had to realize. My dad got me to hate my mom when I got back from the Marines. Stop.
My mom got me to hate my dad. Wow. My dad is like my best fucking friend.
See, same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing. Uh-huh. My dad was the toxic one that convinced me that my mom was the toxic one.
Wow. I've never met anybody like that. But yeah, my mom.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, my mom turned me way against my dad.
Wow. And they were going through a divorce.
My parents got divorced when I was two.
Okay.
So.
And she just kind of crazy.
Well, she was like, your father's an asshole, just saying all these words. And the therapist was like, you can't say that around Margo because she's going to grow up and be like, fucking guys are assholes. But then there came to a point where I was, you know, you got to forgive your parents at some point. And my dad is my, I like, my dad is the best. My dad is my everything. And I just found out I'm his power of attorney. So I'm also his favorite.
Oh, shit.
So.
That's great.
Yeah, he's my favorite. Yeah. But for a long time, I like walked around his house being for like, you're long? A fucking asshole.
From where to where? Like, from what age to what age, if you don't mind me asking?
No, I don't mind at all. Probably like 10 to 19.
It's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then what made you break out of it?
Leaving home. Yeah. Cause
leaving your mom, basically.
Yeah.
Getting away from your mom.
Yeah. But I love my mom. My mom and I have a really great relationship. You know, I don't want to say anything about her.
But no, what you're saying is that you got away from that spell. She kind of had a spell.
Oh, she had a big spell. Yeah. Because it was like, it was me and my mom versus my brother and my dad. Because there's only, so my brother lived with my dad and I lived with my mom.
Interesting.
And my brother is a carbon copy of my father.
Okay.
Yeah.
You get along with him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's not much of a carbon copy.
Yeah. He's we are 12 months apart exactly.
Oh, that's hard.
Yeah.
Me and my sister are 6 years apart. Yeah. And I remember growing up, I hated her.
Mm.
We were just like on a different generation.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Me and my brother felt like twins, but we were in separate grades. Oh. So yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah, my dad did the same thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Got back from the Marine Corps and then he just brainwashed me to hate my mom.
Crazy, huh?
And I was just like, it was so weird, mm-hmm. too. The spell worked so hard. I was mm-hmm. dating this semi-white trash girl.
I love that.
At the time.
What does semi-white trash mean? But like she has a flannel, but like a manicure?
She's half Mexican.
That's funny.
Half white. Mm-hmm. Both trash. So got she's it. Semi-white.
That's hilarious. Trash.
She lived in a white trash. She kind of looked like a white girl, but she really was Gonzalez,
that's
you know?
Fucking hilarious.
We're still friends. We're still friends to this day.
Her name is Gonzalez.
Her last name is Gonzalez, yeah.
Was her first name like Brittany?
No, that's Stephanie. Yeah, shout out to Stephanie Gonzalez.
What up, Steph Gonzalez? Yeah. We see you.
Yeah. She was the first girlfriend I had when I got out of the Marines.
Mm.
So then like, but then like, you know, she was young. I was young, mm. and, you know, and she had like, you know, harsh whatever. I forgot why I brought her up. What the hell was he talking about the white trash? What? I'm going off on a tangent.
We're talking about
right now.
Because your dad was brainwashing you to hate your mother, and then you started dating white trash girl.
She had this really shitty upbringing.
Mm.
So her mom was like in and out of jail and a piece of shit.
Mm.
Her real dad is mm-hmm. in and out of jail and is a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Her stepfather was the only real man in her mm-hmm. life, you know? Mm-hmm. And she was the one that was like breaking me out of the spell. Even though she was like troubled and we fought a lot,
mm-hmm.
she'd always say smart shit like, I don't know why you hate your mom. Your mom is the shit.
Dude.
And I would just be like, you have no idea what you're talking about because I'm under the spell. And she's like, no, you have no idea what you're fucking talking about.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I would die to have a mom like yours. She loves you so much and this, that, and then she takes your shit. And
wow.
And then it's just like.
She didn't have one or had a broken relationship with her. Yeah. So she was like, yeah, you don't.
Then
yeah.
I had to realize my mom is the shit. She's flawed as fuck.
Yeah, we all are. But moms are good, even though they are flawed. Yeah. Last thing I said to my ex-boyfriend was on the phone, I said, forgive your mom. And I hung up.
That's hilarious. Holy shit. That's deep.
Yeah. I was like, if you do anything, like one thing after our relationship, like, please forgive your mother.
And well, he hates his mom.
I don't know, but.
But that's funny. That's even fucking hilarious. Like that's
and I was like, click.
That's a dig.
Love you. Bye. Is it?
That's a
I
dig.
Meant it, though. I was crying. I meant it from the bottom of my heart.
But it's a dig. It literally
shit,
is like,
it?
That's probably what it is. Probably stems from that shit.
A dig, like I took a dig at him because I didn't mean it to be a dig. I meant it with like all like sincerity.
But it's also kind of a dig.
It's so passive aggressive.
Like the last thing to say, mm-hmm. like, forgive your mom.
I'm such a bitch.
I mean, that's the very last thing.
I'm such a bitch.
Forgive your mom, and he's probably all like, whoa.
He's like, ugh.
I'm gonna jerk off again.
Turns on porn.
He didn't even fucking like get the lesson. What an idiot.
Wow.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, Fuck yeah. Moms are the shit.
Moms are the shit.
But that's crazy though. Your dad, man. You guys get along now?
Yes.
How old are you now?
28. I just turned 28.
So for about like almost 10 years, you've been good with your dad.
Yep. My dad, yeah, and I recently just got back from dealing. My dad had a heart attack, a stroke, and a coma all in like 45 minutes. So I was at home for a month.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, taking care of him.
How's it going now?
He's great. He's walking.
Good.
You know, his memory is not all there, but he's killing it. You know, he's doing good.
But he's making it.
He's, yeah, he's definitely better. Like, it could have been a lot worse.
My mom had a stroke, too.
Oof.
Yeah. She pulled out of it pretty good. Mm-hmm. So, like, and it was like, there was a point where it was like, so what I'm saying is like, yeah, your dad might make a pretty good recovery if he keeps it going.
You know? For sure. Yeah, he's got to work on it, you know. Can't eat like garbage anymore, and he has to keep doing his like physical therapy and occupational therapy. And I'll let him know when he can have his car keys back.
No, my mom's done driving.
I was like, yeah, my dad's got two fucking cars. Two. He's a retired correctional officer.
Oh, my father. I bet you he can't even fucking get his mind around not driving.
Oh. And his motorcycle.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he lost his shit when we took away his keys. Fuck. Yeah, he was upset. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, because your stroke could, like, manifest and, like, dude, you might get lost.
Yeah.
Like, it's like shit like that.
Man, I almost don't blame him. Like, if you caught him on a motorcycle right now, part of me would be like, yeah,
bro. Yeah, you got this. Once you turn back around, down the block is fine. Once you turn back around.
Yeah, come back, bro.
That's enough, buddy. You've had, it's like, a toddler now.
How long have you been doing stand-up now?
Oh, I started in August 2019.
Damn. Mm-hmm. You're new.
Mm-hmm. But like I said, I sat on the sidelines for a really long time and watched.
What's a really long time?
Like probably 3 years before that. I was just going.
In LA?
I was just going to shows and watching and going to open mics and watching. And
Were you writing at all?
Kind of. I would do like 2 mics every 6 months.
That's how I did it when I first started doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, and then I went on a trip to England with a very prestigious family, and I was an actor at the time, and they were in the acting industry, and I saw like a different side of the business because I was with them in their like personal life, so I really saw a different side of it, and I was like, I don't want any fucking part of this, so I started stand up like literally when I landed from England. And then the pandemic hit and I didn't do any stand up during the pandemic. I did one show in October. I ran a show out of my neighbor's garage. And then in January 2021, I called the psychic and I was like, I don't know if I should do acting or I don't know if I should do stand up. And the psychic was like, well, you're not going to make it as an actor, but you'll make it as a stand up. So why don't you do that? So
you believe the psychic?
Yeah.
What?
I did. And now
you
I'm
believe
doing
in
stand up full time. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I lost you. I lost you. I lost you. I lost you. That's how every guy thinks of me. They're like, oh no, red flag.
This is the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
You believe in them?
Yeah.
You believe that they really know what they're saying?
Yeah.
Or do you think maybe they're just good at giving advice?
No, both. No, I do believe my psychic. I love her because everything she said came true. That's where I lose everybody. That's where I lose you men. How come I lose you guys when I talk about astrology and I talk about psychics? I have to believe in something. I had no answers as a child. I had to read Teen Vogue's astrology. I had no answers as a child. I didn't know anything to figure out about anything. Nobody was listening to me. Nobody was watching me. I had to read horoscopes to figure out why people were acting the way they were acting. And now I'm a horoscope girl who believes in psychics. And I'm a witch, and I light magic candles, and that's how I get most of my boyfriends, because I light magic candles and write their names in them.
Wow. Maybe that's why you're getting the sleaze balls. That's the red flag right
they're
there.
Cheap candles.
Yeah, you gotta use Yankee candles, right?
I gotta use Yankee candles. Bed Bath & Body Works to get the $90
Get candle. Like the musk. Smell.
Oh, that's so funny. I'm just using 99-cent star candles.
You gotta get one.
I'm getting fucking 8 Mile. Jesus Christ.
You should have somebody make you a candle with the smell of the deodorant you would like your man to smell like some Axe.
Ooh.
Or some shit.
Some like
Old
Ralph
Spice.
Lauren.
Tom's.
Damn, Tom Ford. Tom's deodorant. And like a big like hiking bro comes in with a bag of granola.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. With daisies in his beard.
Yeah. And he's like, hello, my name is Winter.
Winter. Winter Spencer.
Yep, yep.
Winter's great.
Yep.
Winter Spencer.
Yep.
He's got it's cold outside, but he's got those ugly ass overalls that are shorts.
Yeah. Oh God.
You like guys like that.
I don't know what kind of guys I like.
Sometimes girls and what they like for guys blows me away. Because I know girls that like, you know, and then I know what their type is, and I'm like, really?
I don't know if I've had a chance to find my type.
You're going to find it.
You know what? One of my...
You're 10 pounds away from finding it.
Woohoo! 10 more pounds by January. I had a boyfriend in college. When we were breaking up, he was painting my bedroom walls. That was our like final hangout.
Oh, so after you broke up with him,
he came over to and still paint helped my you bedroom paint? Walls.
Because this is something that he promised he would do?
Yes.
Or was he trying to get one more time in the bedroom with you?
No, because I only had sex with him once.
Ever?
Yeah.
So he wasn't much of a, I got to get one in
no.
for the road type no. of guy?
He was doing it because out of the kindness of his heart. Because I was like, can you come paint my walls? And men, you guys love to do shit. So he... No. This guy did, but the thing he said to me, he was like, you date insecure guys because you can control them. And I think about that every day.
Every day you still think about that, huh?
Every day. He was like,
do you think there was a part of that?
Well, he was 100% right. Like 100% right. Because we were talking about, I was like, yeah, this new guy really likes me, but I don't really like him. And he was like, you don't like him. He's a handsome guy. How could you not like him but like this other guy who's like insecure and weird? And he was like, you do it because you like to control people, and insecure guys, you can control them
because you were insecure.
Yeah.
And you need somebody more insecure than you.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I think about that. His name is Anthony Potter, and I think about it every day.
Oh wow, dude.
And he lives in LA somewhere. We went to school in New York City. He moved out here. I've never seen him, but I think about it every fucking day.
That's some deep shit in this podcast.
Literally,
man.
Painting my purple wall white in his underwear.
In his underwear?
Yeah.
Why in his underwear?
Because he didn't want to get paint on his pants.
He wanted you to look at his dick one last time. That's what it was.
Look at it. I think about Anthony Potter. I think about that story.
I don't understand guys that don't want to fuck all the time. I never understand that. I don't know. I come from a different era. Either. I come from a different era. It seems like these new guys now are like...
Yeah. I've had two boyfriends.
Yeah?
Two.
In your entire life?
No. But I've had two boyfriends who, by the end of our relationship, they were like, we don't want to have sex with you anymore. Two of them! Two! I don't get it.
It's porn.
I know.
I'm telling you.
My grandma was like, are you bad in bed, Margo? I tell my grandma everything. And I was like, no, grandma, shit. Shut the fuck up.
Are you?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Whatever.
Wouldn't it be great? Like, if they gave you a service
like, really bad.
Where a person would come over and then you would have sex with them, then
they grade me. They're like, Margo,
this is what you need to work on.
Can you be a little quieter? We don't need you to scream. Why don't you stop choking people?
Oh, man. Moshe Kasher's got this really good closer. Did you hear his closer?
No. What is it?
I don't want to ruin it, but it's about why women are loud during sex.
I know why.
And then
you don't even have to tell me
why.
For me, it's like I want to be what you want. Like I want you to know, like
this works.
Yeah, I want you to know that you're doing an okay job, even if you're not doing an okay job.
Oh, so you'll fake it to let them know you're kind of there. You're almost there. You piece of shit.
No, I just want them to. I just want them to feel what they want. I like want them to know that I'm enjoying it, so I'll like
because you
be
know guys
loud.
Like that.
Yeah, or
but you're
I
not,
think they
you're
like
not naturally
that.
Loud. No. So you would normally, if you would have sex, it would just be like,
yeah, it'd be a fucking chaotic. Mm. Yeah, because I want them to like it, and this goes back to the fat girl thing.
Mm.
Thank you. That's exactly how I sound.
Is that how you come?
I just sound like a motorboat. I sound like a 20-foot boat off the coast of Rhode Island. I'm just like. It's a race car. Yeah. It goes back to the fat girl thing, is thinking that like I have to overcompensate in bed because I'm lucky that I even have a shot at it.
But don't you, but okay. But have you ever had sex with a guy where the sex was so over, like, overwhelming that you had to be loud? In terms of, like, uncontrollably? That's a no.
That's a no, right?
So you're pretty quiet in bed.
I think naturally, but I overcompensate when I'm, like, feeling a lot of feelings.
I'm the opposite.
I overcompensate to make sure that they, you know, because I just feel like as a, like still having like a fat girl brain, I'm just like, I'm just so grateful for this opportunity. How can I make everybody happy?
I can't wait to see when you're a piece of shit, man. I can't wait.
I'm going to be such an asshole.
You are. This is a good journey. I can't wait to see the rest of it, man. You know the next podcast with Jordy? I'm having Jordy on.
Yeah.
And then I'm having Sylvia Sage on with him.
Nice.
The porn star.
Porn stars freak me out, but have a good time.
No, but she's a comedian too.
Yeah, no, I think I've done a show with her a long time ago.
She's
like
funny.
Pre-pandemic.
She's funny.
Yeah.
Well, she's funny because she just like, just got a crazy life.
Yeah.
And then when she talks about stand up and I mean porn in her set, she ruins porn for you.
Good.
So like that's why I want
ruin porn forever.
That's why I want Jordy on with her, because I'm trying to convince Jordy, yo man, we gotta go out and hit on more women. Yeah. I hit on 8 women that week.
That's great.
He inspired me to hit on 8 women. No.
That's beautiful.
Six or seven. No. 7 women. One of them I actually got lucky with.
That's great.
One of them gave me their number, and we fizzled it out in the text. And then the other 4 just said, I got a boyfriend. But it inspired the fuck out
of
me,
beautiful.
Margo. It was weird. It was
You felt confident? Like in your like masculine energy?
I got so baffled that... Fuck you. I got so baffled that he was this guy that I've heard exists... These young guys that are like, sex is whatever. Whereas I, at his age, was like, sex was everything.
Yeah, I remember we talked about this. Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I still love women. I still like hitting on women, you know, but I'm a busy man. Mm. So I'm not hitting on women at the frequency that I was doing when I was younger. I didn't have shit to do. But after talking to him, I was like so mad. I was like, part of me, like this reptilian part of my brain was like, in a very egotistical part of my brain, is like, there's women out there that deserve to be hit on.
Yes. Go out there and help them
and
out.
And if I see a woman as beautiful, I'm going to hit on her.
That's beautiful.
And I'm going to try to do it in a way that's not creepy.
Nice.
And then if it doesn't work out, I'm going to still be polite and I'll bow out.
Wow.
And at least she knows she's cute. The last girl I hit on in San Diego, she said she had a boyfriend, but then she told me, she was like, that was really nice to hear.
Yeah.
Is what she told me.
Let's just fill each other up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to me, I was like, you know, but it's great though. I hit on fucking 7, like almost a chick a day. And I was so like aggressive about doing it that I ended up landing a girl.
That's great.
You know?
And is it easy for men to hit on women? Because for us, it feels like y'all do it all the time. But
no, it's hard.
Is it?
It's not easy.
Oh.
It's not.
Uh-huh. No, I'm here.
I think the thing that's not easy is like it's easier for me now.
Yeah.
Because I've gotten over the jitters. You know, like how stand-up is.
Yeah.
Same shit, right?
Yeah.
Is it really hard now to get on stage?
For me? No.
But was it?
Yeah.
Same shit. That type of anxiety. You get that anxiety where you're like, oh, she's going to shoot me down.
Yeah.
Now I have the, I look forward to her shooting me down.
Oh.
So now I have a different approach. So like now, you know, I don't have that like hungry approach. Like I have to make this work.
Yeah.
And then I think that's what made it creepy when I was just, like hitting on girls when I was younger, or like
because there's pressure on it.
Because the girl can sense that I'm there for just sex.
Yeah.
Whereas now I'm like, I'm just gonna see if there's like a cool chick behind this nice ass. You know.
Yeah.
See if she's cool or not.
That's nice.
And then I'll be okay with that.
Yeah.
But then if I can like, you know, if it's something that I can like see is she interested, maybe I can get her number and make it more.
Yeah.
I'll try.
So it takes a lot. It takes to hit on a girl.
But then it also takes time and resources.
Yeah. Time and resources, like money.
sometimes the resource is money, sometimes the resource is time.
Mm.
Like, you know, not many girls you're going to meet is going to be like, let's go straight to sex.
Yeah, no, I hold out as long as possible.
Right. So, you know, then there's like that, you know, well, I have to let her know that I'm not a serial killer. So I got to text her every so often. I got
to
call
you her. You do have to let us know that you're not going to murder us, because we go out every single day and we're like, well, I hope I don't get murdered today.
You know what I mean? And then maybe like even like show her, hey, look, this is me on Instagram. I'm pretty public. These are my friends. You know, that type of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it would be much easier if the girl was like, yo, let's fuck.
Yeah.
That's what prostitution's for.
Yeah. That prostitution scares me too.
Does it?
Yeah.
I wish I could do porn.
What?
I wish I could do porn.
Oh my God. All that stuff scares me, like terrifies me.
I wish I could do porn if porn was what I wish it was. Does that make sense?
Yeah. What do you wish it was?
That it was just fun sex. Ugh. And then you just put it up and make money.
Wow. But it's not, because they're all like on drugs.
I don't know.
I don't watch it. I won't. I close my eyes.
Do the next podcast, guys. Sylvia Sage, 2 p.m. next week.
Do it.
Can't. We're doing it at her place. And we're going to see if we can, who knows? Maybe we can get Jordy to realize porn sucks.
Porn sucks.
You know?
It destroys lives of people. It destroys everything. I hope Sylvia doesn't get mad at me for saying that.
She says it.
Oh, good. It's awful.
She literally makes her money doing it, knowing it, than knowing that guys are still going to watch it, even though she's like, yo, this stuff is bullshit.
Yeah, it destroys men.
She literally tells me that she'll go to work and she doesn't want to fuck anybody on that set.
Or like, she has to do it.
She's not even into women, but she'll still do those scenes. And I'm just like, what? And she's like, yeah, Mike, it's a job.
But does she have a partner or anything? Like a boyfriend or anything?
I don't know.
Cause like I'm interested in that like other side of her like normal life.
Oh yeah, to see like if she
like,
actually
is she like does she have a sex drive on her own?
I wonder.
Oh, that's I
she's
feel
very
bad for
open
that.
To it. She's super hot.
She's beautiful.
She's very beautiful.
I want to say this correctly because I want to remember her right. Is she the girl with two colored eyes?
Yes.
Yes.
Sylvia Sage with the two colored eyes. Yeah. She kills me because like the last time we were at Comedy Chateau, she was on the lineup. The show started a half hour late. She was running super late.
Yeah.
Then she showed up like an hour after, you know, or so. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh my God, did I miss my spot? And I told her, I was like, don't worry about it. I go, you know, we ran late. So your spot hasn't even come in. She's like, oh, thank God. She goes, I just came off a set. I have cum in my ass. And I was like, oh, wow, hilarious. I started laughing. Then we started talking a little bit. And she's like, no, seriously, I got to go to the bathroom. I have cum in my ass.
And that's just a day in the life.
This is what I get into comedy for, man.
Oh, my God.
Experiences like that.
It's just a day in her life.
People like that,
day in her life.
That's one thing I love about comedy is we know some like people from all walks of life, man.
Oh, yeah.
People I would have never fucking hung out with.
Yeah. I've never hung out with so many people that have been in jail before.
Oh, yeah.
So many like alcoholics. So many.
Do you know a lot
of
people that are like prisoner, like actual real jail?
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of them are comedians, aren't they? No. Don't you think? I've met so many comedians who have been to prison.
Like actual, like real prison, or like they went to a holding cell for a night?
Holding cell for a
night.
That's
different. That's different.
I'm scared of jail also. Three things I'm most scared of: jail, porn, and squirrels.
Squirrels?
Yeah.
Seriously, squirrels?
Mm-hmm.
No, really, squirrels?
Yeah, dead ass.
Okay. Why? Did you get attacked by a squirrel before?
No, and I hope it never happens. They're just so ugly and annoying and disgusting. And every time I see one, I want to throw up.
They're cute.
I'm from Connecticut. I'm from fucking New England. I should like
Michigan.
Them. I know.
I see squirrels all the time.
I know. You got black squirrels and red squirrels in Michigan.
Let me tell you something. In my neighborhood.
Let me fucking tell you.
In my neighborhood, we never saw the black squirrels in my neighborhood until recently. I had to be out of my house, get in my 20s, and all of a sudden the black squirrels started showing up. And I was like, what?
Disgusting.
There's black squirrels? And then I found out that the other squirrels hated the black squirrels. I'm like, oh, they're just like people. They're just like people. They were always fighting each
other.
They're
just mirroring us.
You're racist towards the black squirrel, man. That was the wrong answer, Margo.
Sorry, was it?
You got to apologize to the internet.
I'm sorry.
I don't think that's... You got to tell everybody why you're sorry.
Remember? Sorry that I said that. Wait, what happened? Did I just fuck up really bad?
Yeah.
Did I? I'm sorry, internet. I'm going to cry. I was in the moment. I'm a good person.
You're not in trouble,
Margaret. Okay.
Yeah. But let's wrap this up, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. We went about 90 minutes.
Oh, shit. Really?
Yeah. 232.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Did it fly?
Dude, what the fuck?
Yeah. It was pretty good.
Whoa.
A few people watching, they were commenting. Sorry, I didn't get into your comments. Oh, Alex Getlin came in through.
Oh, I like him.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't get back
where
to you guys.
Where is this streaming? On your Instagram?
It's at Mike from Detroit.
Yeah, I'm on your Instagram right now.
If you go to my Instagram, then you see that link tree.
Yeah.
Hit the link tree, and then go to link in bio.
Link in bio.
And then your picture will be there. And then if you hit that, that'll take you to it.
Yep, I found it. I listened to the one with Heather Williams. I liked it a lot.
Oh, Heather Williams is great. Do you know her?
No.
She's awesome.
No.
She was so...
Oh, yeah, Mike Sasson. You posted a...
Mike Sasson was in?
Yep, I see Mike. No, but I just see his picture.
Oh, yeah, I had Mike Sasson on. That's right.
Oh, you posted a picture of my buddy Chris.
Chris
Vialta.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good guy.
Yeah. That's sad.
Yeah.
Mm. Well...
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Where did it put yourself? Oh, Jason Bacon said, pour yourself tequila. She don't drink, bro. She don't drink. You quit drinking, right?
Yeah.
Thank you, Bolty. Bolty says, good show. Bolty's my old Marine Corps buddy.
Hey, Bolty.
He's always like, Jason Bacon in the house. Oh, yeah. He said they couldn't hate fuck her. That's what they were talking about earlier. What he was saying is like, it's not that it's a hate fuck, but it's kind of like there is this thing that kind of guys have based off what you were saying before that we can fuck a girl that's a fuck buddy the way we want to fuck her.
Yep.
And do all the things we want to do with her. But then if there's a girl that we kind of like, something switches in our brain where we're like, I can't make her do that.
Yep. Yeah.
But I'm not like that no more.
That's good.
Now I ruin relationships by going, this is what I want. And they're like, eh. And then they leave.
They're like, no. Like, eh, fuck no, your honesty. Yeah.
But I think it's the best way to do it. That's Patrice O'Neill always said, be willing to take the L.
The L?
Be willing to take the loss. Be willing to lose your woman by telling her exactly what you're about.
You have to go into it knowing it might end.
It might get, it might blow up in your face.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There have been a couple of times where I tried to make a threesome happen between two girls that I thought I could make it happen, but it really would have worked if I just went with the one girl that I should have went with. Mm-hmm. But because I tried to see about making, then that blew up in my face and then I went home with nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're like, well, why'd you try? But at least
I tried.
I went from two girls to no girls.
Because a few times it'll happen.
Yeah. Shoot your shot, man. Be willing to take the loss.
Yes.
What did we learn from this podcast?
Be willing to take the loss.
And if the person you're seeing can't hang while you start a revolution, get out.
Get out. And how do they treat their mom?
Also, being skinny rocks.
Pot, be skinny. Don't be fat. Don't be fat. If you're going to be fat, have skinny girl energy like Lizzo. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, my. That's so funny. Just straight up, don't be fat.
Don't be fat. But if you do, have the confidence Lizzo has, you know?
That's funny.
Honestly, man, being sexy, a lot of it is how you carry yourself.
I know.
I've seen, like, girls that are, like, overweight, but they so sexy.
Lizzo's like that. Don't you think Lizzo? She carries herself fucking great. Okay, next.
I think she's too fat for that.
Oh my God. People say that about her. Yeah.
I mean, listen. Listen very carefully. It's all about preference.
Yeah, for sure.
There's preference.
Yeah.
We all have preference.
Yeah.
Some guys want fit, skinny girls.
Yeah.
Some guys want girls that are voluptuous.
Yeah, for sure.
Some guys want heavy girls.
Yeah.
I got a friend of mine, a guy that I knew actually in Detroit.
Yeah.
Some Palestinian guy, kind of fat, grew up in Detroit, very hood, you know, and he don't like girls. I like, he thinks the girls that I date are fucking, he likes not just thick girls. No, he likes
big, big girls.
Big.
They could smush him when they sat on his girls. Face. Oh, good for him.
They're good for them.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Fucking. But, there's a match for everybody.
But that's
dude.
What he's about.
Dude, fuck it up.
I would see like some girl with like a stripper body. You know what yeah. I mean? Tight stomach yeah, and whatever. Yeah. And I'm just like, hell yeah. yeah. And he's like, fuck that shit.
Yeah. Wow.
So but that's what I'm saying. I just don't think
he owns it. I need more men to own it. If he's going to be like that, like, I hope he inspires other people to fucking own what they like.
Yes. Yeah, I love when people do that.
Yeah. Own what you fucking like.
I love
like.
When people do that.
Own what you fucking like.
I love with
a lot. I love a construction worker.
I think a lot of one more. I can see you landing a guy who's not a construction worker, but then you make him wear a Carhartt when he fucks you.
You're my dad now.
Put his hard hat on.
Turn your hard hat on.
Turn the light on the hard hat. Yeah. Oh, I'm coming.
Has a cigarette in his mouth.
and then tell him after you come, act like you gotta get back to work.
Yeah, I'm on the clock. Union hours.
I wanna see you walk out
union
of my room
hours.
With a tool belt around your fucking ankles.
Yeah.
You gotta
100%
you gotta really
put those
go to
fucking
work.
Tim boots on.
Make it
yeah.
real, bitch.
Hold the stop sign.
That's what you're gonna do. You're gonna find Stupid. A guy that's like that. He's gonna do whatever no. you want. You want me to be a construction worker? I'll be a construction.
I'll be construction. You want me to be a Jew? I'll be one
I'll be
too.
Jewish. You want me
I'll be
Jewish?
Fucking Jewish. I'll have yeah. a fucking bar mitzvah.
L'chaim. My name is Menachem. Whose dick is this? Menachem. Yes.
That's insanity.
Free Palestine. No.
Shut the fuck up.
My dick is soft now, bitch. Anyways,
we're doing right. it. Thank you for having
trash
me.
Bars. You want to do a trash bars? Are you good at rapping?
Nope.
Guys, I do got to get going. It is kind of late.
I got to go to flashback.
Yeah. And all right, guys, thanks for tuning in. Thank you so much. I hope you guys like the new design. Follow Margo at Calm Down Margo. Her last name. Her name is spelled MARGAUX.
Yes.
I spelled it wrong on the.
What are you going to do? No, you didn't. Did you? No way.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. AUX. Oh, shit. I knew that was the thing that I had to fix and I forgot because the chicken.
Because the chicken.
The chicken, bro.
Visit Mike from Detroit.
Bam. Now I changed it. There you go, guys. MARGAUX.
Isn't
Hamilton.
That dumb?
And it's Calm Down, Margo. She's hilarious. She's a new comic. And I enjoy talking to you.
I enjoy talking to you, too. This has been a blast. I learned a lot.
The me, too.
Yeah.
This is great, Margo.
This is great.
We'll check back in when Margo's hot.
Fuck yeah. Margo's a size 8. We'll circle back to it.
We'll circle back and see. You know, we'll check up
she
on
looks
her.
Like a camp counselor right now, but she'll get there.
It's going to be great. I can't
you.
Wait.
Me, too.
Anyways,
thank
I think
you.
It's awesome, everything you're doing.
Thanks.
Keep it up.
You will.
You're the fucking shit. You're thank hilarious.
You. Thank you.
All right, Margo.
Best.
See you guys.
Peace. Bye.
Public Yemeni number 1.